There was a fair amount of attention given before Election Day to what impact Latino voters would have on the presidential election. We talked about it on this program many times. Now that we know Florida and Texas went for President Trump and Arizona still not called, though it is leaning in former Vice President Joe Biden's favor, one thing that is clear is that there is a lot left to learn about how Latinos in America engage in politics. According to some exit polls, President Trump captured as much as 36% of the Latino vote on Tuesday night, leading to this question: why did so many Latino voters vote for Donald Trump? To investigate, we welcome Dan Arizari, chairman of Capital District Latinos. Dan, it is always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Joe.
Well, as I mentioned, the big question, why did so many Latinos vote for Donald Trump? It was a question that I asked you 2 months ago. And now that we know that it had an impact, especially in Florida, especially in Texas, we asked the question again. Give us some insight.
Well, I think a large part of the reason just the population in general in large numbers voted for Trump can be attributed to something the psychologists call cognitive dissonance. And that, for those of the listeners who don't know what it is when you see something and you perceive it as being contrary to what it actually is. So your mind tries to reconcile these two things. And in the case of Hispanics in particular, I think there's this fair amount of cognitive dissonance that is occurring among our population. But that's more of a subjective, kind of a personal view of mine. I think in a more objective sense, the way to look at it in terms of the national outcome is that the Democrats, once again, failed to really understand the changing dynamics in the Latino community, the fact that you cannot pitch the same message to the Cuban community as you in Florida as you would to even the Puerto Rican community and along the I-4 corridor, or if you go out west to the Latino community in Texas in the Rio Grande Valley versus the Latino community in Arizona. And these are nuanced differences. And I think that the Democrats did have a superior message, but how they communicated that message is obviously found woefully lacking.
There is an opinion piece in the New York Times that came through this morning from Yvette Verde, who is a staff editor in opinion at the New York Times. She writes, "The reason the Latino vote befuddles is because it doesn't exist, nor do Latino issues. If we want to understand how Latinos vote, we should start by retiring the word Latino entirely, and maybe Hispanic too, a term first used by the United States government in 1970 in the census that is based solely on the language native to European settlers who conquered the Americas. These labels have served only to reduce us to a two-dimensional caricature, poor brown immigrants who always vote Democrat." How do you respond to that?
Well, I do think there's a point in there or two that I would agree with. And, you know, certainly the events of the last, how long is it now? I was kind of, you know, binge watching a show on Netflix. I tuned out about 3 o'clock in the morning, just to be frank, give you some context, on Tuesday. I could no longer withstand it. My heart was racing. So I binge watched The Queen's Gambit, which I recommend to everybody.
Yes.
However, going back to the subject, this is a very tricky and kind of existential kind of question for the Latino community. And some of the difference I have with that is that you can't have it both ways. So when you talk about the Latino community, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, we're all Americans. And I think the Trump argument was to blur these distinctions. However, when it comes to the impact of social and economic policy, you have a divergence of outcomes. When it comes to COVID, you have a divergence of outcomes. So if you want to talk about, well, these labels need to disappear, then make them disappear across the board in terms of negative outcomes, in terms of the social determinants of health, and then come back to me with that argument, because I think it doesn't hold water in that sense.
So as you look at where we are right now, and I think we can ask this question in many different contexts, but when it comes to the Latino or Hispanic vote, is it a matter of voting for Donald Trump or voting for Joe Biden or voting against them? Which, of course, again, is a question that we can ask across various demographics.
Well, I think, first of all, to answer that question, I think I have to give it some context from my point of view. And I think the part of the problem with the Democrat response or with the Democratic campaign and the lack of its focus on the Latino community is that it misunderstands or misunderstood, like I said before, the nuances in some communities versus others. But I can remember, Joe, being on the round table months ago and talking about the need for the Democrats not to cede the moral arguments and not to disengage from the religious community when it comes to campaigning. And I'll tell you why that's important. I was born and raised in an evangelical household. I have since shed many of the things that evangelicals hold on to and formed my own kind of way in terms of my faith. But it was a mistake for the Democrats not to engage on that ground, because it's not just about abortion, which is what evangelical Republicans or what the Republican Party has chosen to focus on, especially in the Latino community, to drive a wedge in between components of that community. And the argument of the Democrats did not take into account how important religion plays in the role of many Latinos, a growing evangelical component, the Catholic component. So we had to be able to, or Democrats had to be able to parse that a little bit, to be able to outreach to those subgroups and to make a case for them. And so going back to the idea of voting against Trump or for Joe Biden, I think if you were a Latino Hispanic evangelical, the Democrats never reached out to you. They kind of chalked you up as a group to message to. And that was a really big mistake that I see in the Democratic strategy. And in so far as making a case to vote for Biden, again, I think not only did the Republicans wrap the albatross of social or, of race relations around him when it comes to the 1994 Klein bill, but they were also able to, in some cases, wrap the immigration policies of the Obama administration around Joe Biden's neck as well. But then again, depends on where you're talking about regionally, depends on where you're talking about in terms of outreach. So they did a very good, Democrats did a very good job, at least in Arizona and Nevada. And part of the reason for that is not so much a credit to the Biden campaign, but to a credit to the individual Democratic parties of those states that saw that it was necessary to do a high-touch campaign in our community in order to reach our voters and make the argument that the Democratic policies were going to benefit workers. And we're going to strengthen unions, because unions are intrinsic. When you're talking about the politics of the West, unions in Nevada around the food industry, around the gaming industry, in Arizona, the anti-Arpaio sentiment that has benefited the Latinos and not Democrats in that part of the world. So the failure of imagination, a failure to be able to make a more nuanced argument, did not reduce it to a for Trump against Biden or a pro Biden against Trump argument in a way that really carried the day.
The geography is such an interesting and fascinating aspect to this issue. Dan Arizari, chairman of Capital District Latinos. My friend, I thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. I'm glad you came out of your bubble to be with us. You can go back in there now.
Thank you, Joe. Would you let me know from time? I guess I have to tune into WAC from time to time. Because I just have to resist the dark hole or the black hole of punditry lately.
I understand completely.
Unplug.
We'll set up some smoke as if we're electing a pope, and we'll let you know.
Thanks, friend.
Dan. I appreciate it.
All
Be
right.
well.
Take
Coming
care.
Up next, we'll talk to the talk about the issue of immigration and election 2020. We'll do so with Sarah Rogerson right after the short break.